to The Squeal, PIC Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations and topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. The recruitment process or program varies from organization to organization, and this series features a range of operations sharing what's working for them. Joining us are Neil Paskewicz with Wakefield Pork.
I'm Neil Paskewicz. I work with Wakefield Pork out of Gaylord, Minnesota. I am currently the head of training and development. I've been with Wakefield for a little over 5 years now. I've been in the industry for a little over 20.
Kay Stinson of Seaboard Foods.
My name is Kay Stinson. I'm the Vice President of Human Resources and Animal Care for Seaboard Foods. I've worked for Seaboard for 20 years, and I've been in this capacity for the last 11.
And PIC's Ashley Hinken.
My name is Ashley Hinken. I've been with PIC Canada, predominantly focused on human resources for the last 2.5 years. I've recently branched more into working with our own production farms in the United States. So we have people that specifically work in the farm, so shower in every day. We also have delivery drivers that will help drive our product from the farm to a customer or say to the airport so that it can get to the customer. In Canada and the US together, we have roughly 190 employees.
Just real quickly, Neil, how many people are employed at your organization?
Around 250.
Okay, and Kay?
We've got 5,200, okay. And approximately half of those work in animal operations.
Tell me what the challenges are that are facing you as HR professional, as people who are trying to find people in this industry at this time.
Yeah, so I think one of the major challenges that I have found from an international standpoint between Canada and the US, the US swine industry is so much more dominant than the industry in Canada. So especially when we look at where we have our owned production farm in Canada, it's in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan's a very high grain and cattle operated province, very, very low on the swine spectrum. So what I've really found is the industry is better known in the US. PIC as a whole, just speaking from that experience, is also just the brand itself is better known because of that industry being more dominant. As well, when we look at colleges, for example, we see a lot of different swine classes that are given in the US compared to Canada, where, like I said, it's a lot more grain focused, a lot more cattle. And we see a lot of our college students going into those sectors as opposed to swine. So it's definitely been a recruitment challenge that way. We've tapped more into international borders. So Mexico, Philippines, Ukraine, really outsourcing a lot of that talent just because our talent pool is a lot smaller in Canada than in the US.
That may have been a benefit, a wider group of countries to draw from. Have you found that to be the case, Kay?
No, I think that's fair, Ned. Most of our employees are coming from Mexico here in the United States, and we've actually tried to reach out to multiple states within the United States, even outside of where our operational locations are at. We've not had as much success with the international recruiting outside of Mexico and Canada to some degree with the TN visas.
And how about you, Neil?
Currently, we don't do any international recruiting. Our employee base is from the local areas where we have our locations. In the past, I've worked with the visa in other capacities, but at this point in time, we're still locally grounded.
So. Great. Thank you for bringing up visa. Tell me about visa. Tell me about the issues right now dealing with trying to get employees into the U.S.
I think at least with the visa programs that we work with, and we predominantly use a TN visa, which is part of the NAFTA visa program coming out of either Canada or Mexico. And that's been a pretty good visa program for us for positions at our farm and also some of the specialized positions in our processing plant. It really has been a strong program this year, though, with COVID. Many of the consulates have delayed interviews and delayed the process of being able to get candidates through the consulate. And as a result, you know, it's been a little bit slower moving than what we've seen in the past.
Ashley, so as Kay talked about the U.S., tell me about Canada.
Yeah, so very similar in Canada. We use the NAFTA program as well for our employees from Mexico. Right now, due to COVID, we've seen very lengthy timelines to have work permits processed. One of the key differences between that program using in Canada versus the US is our visas are granted at the port of entry versus having a consulate appointment. So we're used to having a 3 to 4 week turnaround time of having an employee come to Canada from Mexico. However, due to the pandemic and the COVID situation, it's approximately a 17 week timeline to process applications. And with consulates being closed and biometric offices being closed, we're just seeing that timeline grow and grow and grow. We also have another foreign worker program that's through the Labor Market Impact Assessment, LMIA for short, where we recruit employees from the Philippines. And due to the pandemic, they've actually put a stop to LMIAs being issued. They're starting to review again finally, but it's taken several months for us to even be able to put an application in again for that. So seeing a lot of delays on that end, which is a concern, especially as we're trying to draw from those talent pools.
Let's go ahead and talk about finding the people. How do you find people for your industry today? What are some of the tools that work well for you?
One of the things that, in addition to looking and using international labor, which I think is a really key component and has brought a lot of diversity and stability to some of our locations, in addition to that, we've really tried to build a program around the local market force or market labor availability and looking at younger people that may be trying to decide between what they want to do between high school and college or if college, et cetera, and really tried to hone in on a local labor market within an age range of individuals. The third thing is to also, we've had maybe not as much success, but we've certainly had some success on the individuals that are coming in looking for management trainees or what upward mobility might look like, of looking at states where agriculture might be changing in those states. And even though we operate predominantly in the Midwest, really looking at some of the schools in California or on the West Coast where maybe agriculture is changing for those that want to stay in animal agriculture. And are they open to coming to the Midwest and trying positions there? Not to rob from different states, but sometimes, you know, people tend to have a paradigm about, you know, living places. And if we can be successful looking at opportunities or candidates across the U.S., you know, we've had some success with people open to relocating and coming to different areas just because they're looking for something different in maybe in their personal life. But those are three things that have worked for us, as well as having a strong college recruiting program.
So college recruiting, I know everybody. Every industry recruits in college. Is that the right thing to do?
It's only a portion of our recruiting. And I think you can't spend as much time just focused on that. I think there's multiple different pipelines that you have to be evaluating. I think it's important to help people understand all the different jobs that exist in the pork industry. And if you get it in your head that you're only looking for a management trainee or an animal science grad, I think we're going to miss a lot of really good young people that may find some real success in this industry, even if they don't know anything about it. And so the college recruiting is only one aspect. I think for all of us, that's going to change over time too, because I think we're going to see an even growing, a more growing group of young people really weighing their options as to whether or not college is the right place for them. A two-year school, a trade school certification, working for an employer that can help with their education and certification in other areas can maybe be just as appealing. And it doesn't have to be a forever hire, right? I mean, it can be people that are looking for a place that fits where they're at for some period of time. And, you know, they may not stay in the industry long term. And I think we have to be okay with that too.
That sure changes some of our onboarding issues, though, then, and we'll talk about that in a moment.
Absolutely.
Neil, as you are looking at it from your perspective, as you said, it's more of a locally based recruitment program. Give us an overview of that. What's that look like?
Well, I think I agree with Kay on the whole college recruiting thing, is that I think, you know, in the years past, that was a lot of focus. There was a lot of time spent there. But I think we're in the same position where we're focusing more on the maybe the community college, technical college areas. And really trying to go even a little bit younger, as you talk about middle schools and high schools. trying to get in with the ag programs, the FFA, the 4-H. All those kids are really deciding what they want to do in life. There's not a huge population of kids out there today that really understand agriculture like it was 20 or 30 years ago. So whatever we can do to help supplement the high school programs or the FFA programs to at least make a connection, you know, and in Minnesota, it's a pathways-based program for the agriculture students. And we try to kind of hone in on that and get those guys where they're young before they make decisions. You know, I've seen over the last couple of years that there's fewer and fewer going to four-year colleges, more going to a technical college, and honestly, quite a few that are, you know, saying after high school that I'm just going to go work. I don't want the debt. I don't want that lingering over me. So I want to find a good job that's stable and provides for me.
And you said that you're reaching out to these agriculturally based organizations and locations. So you're doing that by responding to the request for sponsorship, or you're sending letters, or you have a speaker that goes and presents. How do you do that?
Yeah, we have recruiters that go into the schools and do, you know, we can do virtual tours of our units or provide them an educational topic for the class at the time, whatever the case might be. But, you know, we reach out to a lot of the ag teachers and saying, hey, what's your program look like? What are you doing? How can we help? Mutually beneficial to each other in terms of what our needs are and what you need for your students.
Pretty positive response to those types of outreaches, I assume, for everyone. I mean, everybody's looking for content.
Right, right. You know, we may only get a handful of people. Maybe you get 10 people out of a high school. If you get one or two of them on full-time or part-time in high school, maybe you get one full-time out of that. I think that's a win. And that's kind of how we look at things.
So the limitations in that, trying to get the word out, I've always felt like it wasn't a matter of potential employees not wanting to work. They just had never considered working within the livestock industry. Am I correct?
I'd agree with that. You know, I think a lot of our hires come from just a casual conversation after a ball game, or, you know, you're talking to a guy who's not happy with what he's doing currently. And he said, hey, have you ever considered this? And if we can provide an opportunity that they feel good about what they're doing, they see some sort of purpose, you know, they'll make that jump. But like, it's kind of trying to capitalize 365 days a year on those 5 or 10 minute conversations you have with people just in the general public, trying to get our employees to do the same when they're out there. So
I agree with that statement. And I always, I think about how you can, you know, engage with those individuals that might not be in agriculture, whether it's after a football game or whatever. But how do we do that in a system like ours and fish with a net, if you will? And so a couple things that have been helpful for us, in addition to just a traditional summer internship, we've done something called a winter internship. And in the past, we've only been able to maybe do that for about a week or 2 weeks over the Christmas break, whenever kids are back home, maybe not going to school. But this year, you've got a lot of kids that, whether they're in college or even high school, that, you know, some of these school districts they're not going back to school after Thanksgiving, and they're going to be out till the end of January. And we sure have a great opportunity right now to offer a part-time, full-time, those 6 to 8 weeks, and allow them to come in and see what we do. And we've always looked at it, I say always, it's been in the last, you know, 8 to 10 years, is when we bring people in on internships or even for a shorter, a smaller window of time like that, you know, 1 week or 2 week, and we show them our entire integrated system, you know, we're not trying to get work out of the individual. We're not even trying to necessarily get that person directly hired. We're trying to give them exposure to the entire sort of industry, or our business in this case, which would include, you know, processing. But if you're a producer and your integration is through crops, et cetera, trying to show them the whole picture of the business. Our hope is, you know, hey, go back to school, whether you want to come work for us or not. You may run into somebody or one of your friends in the dorm or a couple of people in the wherever or from Western Kansas. And you'll say, hey, I did this internship with Seaboard. It was really cool. And you should go check them out. And it's really helped us have more people out there helping us fish for good kids, because it's about just, you know, our definition of good is you haven't come necessarily from a farm, but if where we're located at interests you, if your friend talked to you about our culture or the kind of people that you worked with and that appealed to you, then then we count that as a win. And that's a positive way for us to cast our net wider and have a bigger group of potential candidates.
Excellent. Excellent. Online presence on recruitment. We've got things going on in Facebook. We've got things going on in Twitter land. Yes.
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 All of the above.
Okay. Very good. Great idea. I love the idea of the winternship. Did you create that or did you steal it?
We didn't steal it. So it was, it was developed within our system. There may be other people that do it, but it was something that we were just trying to capitalize on, getting more people out there talking about the industry and the opportunities. So
yeah, the world has changed. And so we're reacting, incorporating that change into our plans. Ashley, what's the best recruiting technique you have either created or stole?
One thing, and I won't say that we stole it, and I won't say that we created either. You know, we really revamped our referral program. So for us, we know that some of the best people that you're ever going to hire are those that are being referred from, you know, successful people that you have within your company, right? So for us, we really took a solid look a year ago from an own production perspective. And we said, what can we do to change this to make this more enticing? And by changing that program, as well as by creating some other new hire bonus opportunities, it's really highlighted to people that we care about those that come and work for us, and we want to be able to compensate them accordingly for that as well. So I think for us, that's been a huge win. When I actually went back and looked at some of the data with it, I would say 75% from what I found were people that were referred to us, whether it was from an international presence or from that local presence. So for us, that's been a huge win. Like I said, obviously we're not the creators of referral programs, but I think that what we did was really neat, kind of marrying the new hire bonus with the referral program.
And Neil.
Yeah, you know, I came into this system, and I think I agree with Ashley that word of mouth is really one of the biggest things that's kept us going. You know, you say 75%, I would say we're about 45% of our hires are internally referred from people already on the farms. So you know that you're getting somebody that has at least an understanding of what we do, and is somebody that other employee wants to work with. You know, they're not going to refer someone who's not going to show up for work or do those types of things. And there's money incentivized to them as well for recruiting those employees. And we do similar things like the winter internship. You know, I think we're a little late to the game this year, seeing what was coming down the pipe, but we'll do individual internships if there's high school students that need a credit for a class or whatever the case is. We're really open to, you know, you got time, we got farms. If you just want to come hang out and see what we do, more power to you.
Just briefly, Neil, non-farm people. You said you were dealing with the agricultural organizations, things like that. And I'm thinking of all the other swine operations across the U.S. who are similar in that we're kind of locally based and that's where we go. How do you talk to people outside the ag industry?
You know, I think we get stuck in this rut of, you know, nobody wants to work in a hog barn. So we talk more about, you know, it's not a whole lot different than any other job. If we can provide the environment, if we can provide the nice, clean facilities, a good team of people to work with, it's no different than going to the bank or, you know, jobs like that. You have to have training programs in place. You have to have people there to be able to teach. But if we can offer people outside the industry, like I said, a good team, a clean, organized workspace, you know, clear expectations, the security of a job, and really giving them a purpose and feeling like they're part of something, we can get away from talking about, hey, do you want to come work in a hog barn? You say, hey, do you want to come work for our organization? This is what we do, but this is who we are.
I can really resonate with Neil's comments there. I think that shifting that focus of, hey, we work in a hog barn, to this is the bigger picture. From PIC standpoint, we are pioneering animal genetics to help nourish the world. This is how we do it. So some things that we have done that have been, you know, pretty cool tools is for those that are not sure if this is the right job for them, pairing a second interview that's actually on site that goes through the, you know, taking your temperature, shower in process. So they actually understand what the environment is like. And to Neil's point, it's clean, it's safe. You know, we've even had just from personal experience, comments of people going, wow, this is not what I expected. This is, you know, cleaner than other offices that I've seen, right? So I think just taking some of that stigma away as well. And that helps with that word of mouth conversation too. And that, hey, it's not just that there's these hog barns that these companies have, but rather, you know, hey, there's offices, there's break rooms, it's a shower and facility and what that entails. So like I said, I think it helps break some of that, I'll call it stigma, to the hog farming industry. And then also helps, you know, with some of that local recruitment too, so that people gain a better understanding, because due to biosecurity protocols, not everybody can just come to one of our facilities, right? You see the do not enter signs. Everybody kind of has this fear of the unknown of what's back there. So by breaking that down with that secondary site interview, we found that we've had a lot of success and also really helped to diminish some of those quick quits for people that think, hey, this really isn't for me.
It's The Squeal, featuring human resource professionals Kay Stinson, Ashley Hinken, and Neil Paskewish, in the first of a three-part series on recruitment. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you're a longtime listener, take a second to subscribe to The Squeal. It's the easiest way to stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes. Just search for The Squeal wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're already a subscriber, visit your phone settings and turn notifications on so you'll never miss an episode. For PIC, international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.